Now, it's Local 1290. 2 hours of news, information, and entertainment about our community, local business that powers our economy, and most importantly, you. Jump on board and tell us how you're managing. Call us at 402-342-1290. Here's Neil Nelkin.
Good morning. It is so very nice to have you with us on this Monday morning as we kick off another week of Local 1290, 10 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday, here on News Talk 1290 COIL. We talk to local people about local issues and issues that concern you and me and all of us in the local community. The judicial community, I think it is fair to say, was rocked, shocked, surprised on Saturday by the passing of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, age of, 87, and while everybody knew that she had been suffering for some time, I don't know that most of us were expecting Saturday to be the day. It has obviously become an issue in a number of areas, not the least of which is selecting a replacement justice. I thought it was, well, almost unseemly that immediately discussion revolved around a replacement justice and charges of packing the court and all of the things that go with our political environment around us today. But I thought it'd be maybe a little more important to remember Justice Ginsburg for her contributions, particularly to those things she was passionate about and to those things that people who respected and admired her were passionate about. I want to introduce to us today U.S. District Court Judge Lori Smith Camp of Omaha, who her path in the judiciary has followed the path of most of us who are baby boomers, and also concurrent with the most prolific years of Justice Ginsburg. And Judge Lori Smith Camp, welcome to Local 1290. Nice to have you here.
Well, good morning, Neil. Thank you for inviting me.
It's a pleasure. I would assume that you were very much a student of Justice Ginsburg, her philosophy, her accomplishments, and what she came to mean, particularly to women in the judiciary, because, she, as she has said, she came about at a time when there weren't a lot of women at that level, right?
That's correct, and I have done a lot of reading about Justice Ginsburg, including her book that is called In My Words. I've met her on a number of occasions, and we were looking forward to having her come to Omaha this August for the Eighth Circuit Judicial Conference and celebration of the centennial of the 19th Amendment. Unfortunately, the pandemic squelched those plans, and so we missed having a very historic conference. But this event this weekend, the loss of Justice Ginsburg, does give us an opportunity to celebrate her amazing career and talk about the many accomplishments that she had and her contributions to the justice system.
She was appointed by President George W. Bush to the Supreme Court, and I believe confirmed very quickly. Wasn't anything controversial about her confirmation, as we will likely see going forward here now in today's environment. But what was her contribution? What was her contribution that made her such a amazing figure, especially for women to look up to? What was her special quality?
Well, first, she was appointed by Clinton. I just want to make clear.
That's okay.
I was appointed by George W. Bush myself.
That's where I got it wrong.
Where you're confused.
Yes.
Yes, she was a Clinton appointee to the U.S. Supreme Court. Before that, she was on the D.C. Circuit, and she actually started her career out of law school working for a federal district court judge. So she had experience at all three of the levels of the federal judiciary. As a lawyer, she had amazing accomplishments. It is thanks to the young lawyer, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who, when still in her 30s, persuaded the U.S. Supreme Court that that the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment actually applies to women. For more than 100 years, the Equal Protection Clause was given no application to women. In 1971, in the Reed versus Reed case, the Supreme Court agreed with her argument that states should not be able to enact laws that discriminate against women without some rational basis. That was a huge step forward. Then 2 years later, she persuaded the Supreme Court in the Frontiero case that if a state law is going to discriminate against women, the state should have something more than just a rational basis. And this was called heightened scrutiny. Not strict scrutiny like we have in the cases of discrimination on the basis of race or religion, but a heightened scrutiny, something more than just a rational basis. And it's due to the young lawyer, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that we have juries that include women. You know, if you saw the movie 12 Angry Men, mm-hmm. it was 12 angry white men. Jurors were chosen by a slate of people that was put together by the clerk of the court, and usually those slates were white men. Now I have juries that reflect a cross-section of the community, and it's because of the lawyer, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, persuading the Supreme Court and other courts that women have a right to serve on juries, they have a duty to serve on juries. Women litigants and criminal defendants have a right to have female peers on their jury, and men have a right not to have to bear the burden of jury duty all by themselves. So it's those kinds of landmark cases that she was responsible for as a young lawyer. And then, of course, she continued that legacy on the U.S. Supreme Court, expanding the application of the Equal Protection Clause to groups that formerly had not been protected under that clause.
Laurie Smith Camp, who was U.S. District Judge, I believe senior U.S. District Judge here in Nebraska. We're talking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, her legacy, her heritage, especially to women in the judiciary, which until fairly recently were not in a predominant position. A lot of that change is directly attributable to Justice Ginsburg and the path that she kind of set for the rest of us to follow.
Yes, at the time I became a federal judge in 2001, actually 24% of the federal appellate court judges were female, but only 17% of the federal district judges were female. And that might seem counterintuitive. You would think, well, certainly people would start at a lower level and then work their way up. But if you look at the track record of law firms and their hiring practices, at the time I graduated from law school, many law firms would simply say, we have never hired a woman, we will never hire a woman, we will not interview a woman. If we were to hire a woman, you would work in a back office. We would not let you have any contact with clients. And Justice Ginsburg faced that discrimination, just like Justice O'Connor did. Justice Ginsburg ended up teaching in law school and then working with the ACLU on projects involving women's rights. And by doing that, she got her foot in the door of the courtroom. And, of course, she was a very eloquent orator and very persuasive through her use of logic.
Today, young people get into the profession, the legal profession. Are they taught the legacy and the heritage of people like Justice Ginsburg? They don't have firsthand experience of what it was like even a short time ago when you were coming up. But do young people really have an appreciation for her contribution and what she did to make things possible for them today?
I think it's difficult for many young women and men to realize how much progress we've made in the last 50 years. It was about almost 50 years ago that I graduated from high school, And that was the year, 1971, that the Reed versus Reed case came down, where the Supreme Court said, yes, the Equal Protection Clause has some application to women. Many young women and men find it hard to believe how widespread and prevalent and deep-seated discrimination was in the laws, as well as discrimination by employers, corporate America. So we need to tell this history, teach the history, and this tribute to Justice Ginsburg, and I know that there will be many tributes going on across the nation and around the world, gives us an opportunity to teach that history.
You have said on occasion that it is important for women to be in the judiciary for a number of reasons, but one of those reasons is that women see things based on life experience, based on where they've come from and how they arrived at where they are, that women do see things differently, and you need that difference in the judicial system in order to be fair to both women and to men, to people in general.
Well, studies have demonstrated that when a jury is more diverse, when a jury includes men and women and people of different races and people of different socioeconomic backgrounds, the jury deliberation is more thorough. There is more discussion. They dig deeper. They generally reach better conclusions. And the same can be said for corporate boards. If a board of a corporation includes women and people of diverse backgrounds, the board is likely to make better decisions. It will think things through more clearly, more thoroughly. And the same is true for panels of judges. If you have a panel of judges who are all male, all white, all of the same socioeconomic background, they're going to miss many aspects of the deliberation process. And this has also been demonstrated in reviews of panel decisions by appellate courts. The discussion is more thorough if the panel is diverse.
U.S. District Court Judge Lori Smith Camp, on the legacy and heritage of Justice Ginsburg on the U.S. Supreme Court. It wasn't that long ago, because I remember it when I was growing up, and I'm a leading-edge baby boomer, I guess it's safe to say. But young women could aspire to be in the legal profession, but they really didn't have a role model to follow where they could point to and say, you know, I want to be like that woman. I want to be a Supreme Court justice like that woman. Those things didn't exist back in those days, and it was limiting as to the aspiration of young women in the legal profession back then, wasn't it?
It is hard to aspire to something if you don't have a role model who looks something like you. So I think that the fact that Justice Ginsburg was so popular that there are action figures for children modeled after Justice Ginsburg. Little girls were dressing up like her for Halloween because she was their superhero. Those things in popular culture, I think, are very helpful for small girls and young women and those of us who are no longer young. We all want role models.
She seemed to be a lot more, I guess, accessible than Justice O'Connor, who was the first woman on the Supreme Court. Justice Ginsburg just seemed to be more approachable.
She was very approachable. I first met her in 2002 at the U.S. Supreme Court after I became a judge and I was going through the orientation process for new judges. She had just come through a very serious bout with colorectal cancer, and she looked very, very frail. But she showed up and she greeted us and she spent time visiting with us, and you could tell she wanted to get to know each one of us. Later, when I became chief judge of the district, I went back for a program in D.C., and Justice Ginsburg invited all of the female chief judges of the federal district courts to the Supreme Court for high tea in what they called the ladies' dining room. And she was very gracious. She visited with us for a couple of hours. We told stories and learned more about her background as a student at Cornell and a law student at Harvard and Columbia. And she just could not have been more approachable, more personable. She was in Nebraska in 2006, speaking in both Lincoln and in Omaha. And I had dinner with her when she was in Lincoln. And again, very, very approachable. So she was eager to come to Omaha this summer. She really wanted to be here. And that was above and beyond the call of duty, because the Eighth Circuit is not her home circuit. The Second Circuit, where New York is located, is her home circuit. And taking this on was an extra responsibility, but she was willing and eager to do it because she enjoyed the public outreach and understood the importance of telling history and informing people about our justice system.
It's very difficult, if not impossible, to predict the future and how the future will look back on our time. But in the context of your experience in the judicial system, down the road when history judges Justice Ginsburg, how will history recall her? What will they use to define her?
Her work as a lawyer will be every bit as important as her work as a justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. She accomplished things as a young lawyer that no one had dreamed of. And then she continued that legacy on the U.S. Supreme Court and set an example for all of us of collegiality, civility, equal opportunity, and courage. She was unparalleled in her quiet, steadfast courage.
U.S. District Court Judge Lori Smith Camp on your reminiscences about Justice Ginsburg. Thanks so much for your time. I think you've really defined the former justice as we're going to remember her. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Neil. Have a great day.
You too. Bye. U.S. District Court Judge Lori Smith Camp on Justice Ginsburg and the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We'll have more coming up.